إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 8th session reading from Minhaj Yawmi li Talib al-Ilm, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge, by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Before we look at what remains from this tremendous advice of our Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, we want to review quickly some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire, study guide number 7. The first question being, and by the way, there were 8 questions originally, and we left off one of them when we modified the study guide because we didn't reach the answer to that question. So actually, the questionnaire study guide last week had 8 questions. It should only have 7. We're going to look at the first 7 questions. Question number one, mention each of the 4 areas outlined by the author, rahimahullah, as part of one's daily routine in life. 4 main areas that he addressed. Naam. Anybody? Mention each of the 4. The first, what's the first of them? First of them. Naam, Abdul Haq. Manhajuka ma'allah ta'ala. Naam. Yani meaning?
Your daily routine,
yani, yes. Your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Yani being with Allah da'iman, yani being conscious of, yani, His azama and reflecting upon His signs in the creation and in that which He has sent with the messengers. Naam. The second area, somebody else. Second main area that he talked about. Manhaj Shu'aib. Ma Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he mentioned a number of points, 3 points. The first of them is what? Yani giving precedence to the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over every other created being. Now, Mustafa. Huh? Calling others to His sunnah also, he mentioned. Now. Yeah, and giving precedence to love of the Messenger of Allah, and giving precedence to His guidance, and giving precedence to His sunnah over anything else. And taking Him, yani, as your imam, and your ibadah, and your character. We don't want to go into the details, but just the main area. Ma Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third area, naam. Amaluka al-yawmi ghayrul mafruudat. Yani your daily routine, your daily manhaj in terms of your daily naam, yani other than the obligatory duties, other than, yani, the things, the worship that you're doing daily, other than the obligatory duties, yani including, for example, like briefly, what could be included in that? Things that we should be doing every day that are not obligatory. Praying at night, the night prayer, Salatul Qiyam, witr at the end of it. Huh? Duha, Salatul Duha in the morning. Huh? Qiraatul Quran. And so on. And dua and yani. The Shaykh mentioned only 5 things, but of course, obviously, there's more than that, right? And the last area that he mentioned, the 4th area, he said what? Naam. Tariqatu talab al-ilm. Tariqatu talab al-ilm. Yani the method, huh? The path, yani the road for seeking knowledge, the road that one will travel upon and seeking knowledge. These are the 4 areas that the Shaykh has addressed. And by the way, I have suggested on more than one occasion that anybody, if they memorize this advice, if anybody would like to take one of these, it's 1 sheet of paper. The whole advice that the Shaykh gave, all 4 areas and every point that he mentioned, is on this one sheet of paper right here. Print is a little bit small, right? But it's manageable. It's just one sheet. I also sent it out to the class in three sheets, but with bigger print that's easy to read and study. But this you can carry in your pocket with you all the time. It is worthy of memorization.
It looks small, it gives you courage.
It's more encouraging when you see it's only one page. It's just one page to memorize. And for the young people, this is not difficult to memorize. Huh? Okay, this is for whoever wants to memorize in Arabic, okay? Please take one from Tariq. Whoever wants to memorize in Arabic. Okay. So that we don't get stuck there, right? Second question. Memorize the first advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. The last area, one's daily routine in seeking knowledge. What was the first advice under that last area? And there were six advices. What was the first of them? Now, Abdul Qawi. Be diligent in memorizing the Quran and memorizing the book of Allah. Naam?
The first advice. Uh-huh. Ta'ala.
Naam.
Waj'al laka kulla yawmin shay'an muhayyinan tuhafidhu ala qira'atihi wal takun qira'atuka bi tadabburin wa tafahumin. وَإِذَا عَنَّتْ لَكَ فَائِدَةً
أثناء
القراءة فقيد.
نعم أحسنت ما شاء الله. يعني be diligent in memorizing the Quran, and additionally he said what, and also يعني make some specific portion, set for yourself a specific portion of the Quran that you're going to read daily, and read it with tadabbur, with contemplation and tafahum and understanding. And if any benefit came to you during that reading, write it down so that you can preserve it and have it for, and you have access to it later on. Third question, discuss individually each aspect of the first advice under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. Each aspect, one by one. The first aspect of this first advice. The first aspect is somebody else. First aspect. And he mentioned in this advice, a long advice, right? Contained different matters. Shuaib. The first portion of it is memorizing a portion of the Quran? Memorizing the Quran. Be diligent in memorizing the book of Allah. Memorize the Quran completely. And our goal should be to memorize the whole of the Quran. Second point that he made. Second thing, in addition to that, Sulaiman?
To set a goal to read the Quran daily.
To set a goal or a portion, set aside a specific portion. 20 pages, 1 juz, 10 pages, 5 pages, every day that you're going to read every day, so that you consistently are reading some portion of the Quran until you complete it, whether it takes 1 month or 2 months or whatever time it takes. Third thing he said, in reference to that daily reading, Musa?
That your reading should be that the reading of pondering and understanding.
Naam, that when you are reading, you should read in a manner in which you are actually contemplating, reflecting upon what you're reading. You're not just racing through it, so that you what? With the intention of understanding what you read. And the last point that he made in this first advice, the last point that he made, now, Abdul Haq.
وَإِذَا عَانَتْ فَائِدَةً أَثْنَاءَ الْقِرَاءَةَ فَقَيِّدْهَا. So if you find something beneficial during your reading,
Now, if you came across anything, any benefit came to your mind while you were doing this reading, write it down. Qayyidha. Write it down. This is really, really important, and it is of tremendous benefit to write down the benefits that you come across in your reading of the Quran, as well as in your general studies, in hadith or fiqh or whatever it may be, but especially from the Quran. It is of tremendous benefit. Now, okay, these are the individual aspects of the first advice. And we should look at each one of them and try to concentrate and make an effort to actually apply this in our lives. In our daily lives. Question number four. Mention the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma about reading the Quran daily. What was the advice of the Prophet to Abdullah ibn Amr? رضي الله عنهما نعم إبراهيم No, what did he tell Abdullah ibn Umar specifically about reading the Quran daily? اقرأ القرآن في الشهر. اقرأ القرآن في الشهر. يعني read the Quran, يعني complete your reading of the Quran in a month. Meaning, read a certain portion every day so that in the course of a month you will have completed your reading. يعني a juz, 1/30, in the course of a month you will complete the reading. And then he said to him,
I can do more than this.
He said, I find, إني أجد قوة. I have the strength to do more than that. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him,
سبعين.
What? He said, so therefore read it, yani complete it in 7 days. Read as much as portion so that in the course of 1 week you will finish the whole Quran. And he finished the hadith, the end of the hadith, he said, وَلَا تَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And don't read more than that. Yani so much that you will complete the Quran in less than 1 week. Yani as we discussed last week, except in some special circumstance, but that shouldn't be the norm. And this also, this advice to Abdul Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma is a tremendous advice where the Prophet is informing us that we should actually be clear on yani how we are doing this reading of the Quran, such that we are completing the Quran regularly, whether it's once a month or once a week or whatever, that we actually have a goal to continuously complete the reading of the Quran with reflection and contemplation and so on. Question number 6, who is the author of question number five, I'm skipping. Memorize the second advice of the author, rahimahullah, and the one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. The second advice of the author, that's who's that, the Murshid. Now, try to memorize whatever is easy of the authentic sunnah. Now,
from the memorizing the book,
and from, yani, I didn't hear the exact words that you said, but you said Umdat al-Ahkam. I heard that part.
Yeah.
Now, anybody also add to this? Now.
If please, Allah, if the Ma'atayassara means Sahihi, Sunnah to Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Wa min dhalika,
notice the Shaykh, he said what? Ihris ala حَفْظِ مَا تَيَسَّرَ. Yani he didn't charge us with memorizing the whole of the sunnah. But he said, whatever you are able to do from the authentic sunnah. And from this yani instruction, he said an example of this is memorizing a book like Umdat al-Ahkam. Memorizing such a book as Umdat al-Ahkam. And maybe we want to add to that a book like Bulugh al-Maram. It might be ahead of us right now, but na'am. Question number 6, who is the author of Umdat al-Ahkam? And list 3 of the mizat, the distinguishing characteristics of this book. Yani who is the author of Umdat al-Ahkam? Anybody on this side? Author of Umdat al-Ahkam, na'am. Imam Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah. And 3 of the mizat, one of them. The first one that the Shaykh mentioned, Ibrahim. نعم مما يعني اتفق عليه البخاري ومسلم. نعم, that the hadith in this book Umdat al-Ahkam are from the hadith which are agreed upon as being sahih by al-imam al-Bukhari and al-imam Muslim رحمهم الله. يعني the hadith in this book are from those hadith which are agreed upon as being sahih by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. Second miza, he said, distinguishing characteristics of this book. And he based on the first one, then there's a second benefit from this book.
So نعم, these hadith are sahih, we're not
going to worry
about the isnad, looking for the isnad, if it's sahih or if...
Because all of these hadith are from what is agreed upon by al-Bukhari Muslim, a person is not going to find any difficulty, hardship, ta'ab, in checking, yani, the takhrij of these ahadith, because, khalas, it's in Bukhari Muslim, you're good. Right? And the third miza that he said, third means they're also related to the first and second one. And the first and second one, now, Suleiman there?
No. You can use it as a proof for every matter and feel at ease and rest with it.
Yani because these hadith are from Bukhari and Muslim, we know that they are sahih, you can use them, yastadillu. You can yani use them as a dalil fi kulli mas'ala, in any issue, any mas'ala that came up, and feel at rest, feel confident
feel comfortable. Yani that you're okay. You don't have to worry about, wow, I wonder if this hadith is sahih or not. Like you get into a discussion with somebody about an issue and they said, but there's a hadith that supports my view, but it is sahih though. Is it sahih? With this, if these are the proofs that you're using, alhamdulillah, you don't have to worry about using any one of them in any issue that you come across. The last question, yani which was next to the last question, but now it became the last question. Memorize the third advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. The third advice, naam. Third advice, naam.
Ihris ala tarkiz
wa thabat.
Wa thabat. Wa thabat bi aytu la ta'khudh al-ilma
nutafan
min hadha shay'in wa min hadha shay'in bi anna dhalika yudayyi'u waqtaka wa yushattitu dhihna.
Naam. Yani the meaning of this what? What is the meaning?
Strive
and be diligent in at tarkiz, yani in concentrating, focusing on the subject that you want to study, not being all over the place. And a thabat, being firm, sticking to it until you complete it, until you get that subject well. Such that
you do not take knowledge from
here. Yani you shouldn't take knowledge from here and there, from everywhere, a little bit here, all over the place.
Because
Because this will cause you to waste your time. If you're all over the place taking, you will never accomplish anything. You will never achieve anything because you have a little bit of this and a part of that and a little part of that. So you really have nothing. And it will also, yani, yushattit dhi'nak. Yani, your mind will be scattered all over the place. Yani, if you don't focus on what you want to study, and al-thabat, be firm. Yani, be steadfast, stick to it until you complete something. Now, this is very important advice. This is where we stopped last week, and we didn't discuss the Sheikh's commentary last week because we ran out of time. So today, inshallah, we're going to go back to this point and look at, yani, what the Sheikh said concerning the explanation of this particular point. Okay, so today, inshallah, we're going to go back to point number 3, right, on page 48 in the Arabic reading, and in the English book, the translation, page 40, point number 3 from the Minhaj Yawmi Litalib al-Ilm by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and the commentary by Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah. Third point of advice, in the path of seeking knowledge, the Sheikh says, احرص على التركيز والثبات بحيث لا تأخذ العلم نتفا من هذا شيء ومن هذا شيء. يعني شيء من هذا يعني وشيء من هذا. من هذا شيء ومن هذا شيء لأن هذا يضيع وقتك ويشتت ذعنك. يعني be diligent, eager in, يعني تركيز, focusing on what you want to study, and if for that, being steadfast, firm, steady, sticking to it until you gather the information concerning the subject that you are going after. Not taking knowledge from here and there, a little bit from this place and a little bit from that place, because indeed this will waste your time and it will scatter your mind. The Shaykh, in his commentary here, Shaykh Abdul Razak says, وَهَذَا تَنْبِيهُ مُهِمٌ. This is a very important note. Tanbih, that he's bringing to our attention. He's telling us, look, listen to this, pay attention to this particular point. كَثِيرًا مَا نُغْفُلُ عَنْهُ. يعني, too often, so many times we are unmindful. يعني, we ignore or disregard this particular point. The point of what? Focusing on the knowledge and being steadfast on it, not just jumping all over the place, which wastes your time and scatters your mind. وَالشَّيْخُ يَرَى أَنَّ طَلْبُ الْعِلْمِ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُؤَسِّسَ نَفْسَهُ عِلْمِيًا. يعني Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, his view of the matter is that the student of knowledge, it is incumbent upon the student of knowledge, أَنْ يُؤَسِّسَ نَفْسَهُ عِلْمِيًا, that he make for himself a firm foundation, knowledge-based foundation. يعني that you have a foundation, a knowledge-based foundation, not just, yani, like you go to the Jumu'ah khutbah and every week the khatib is talking about a different topic. Nothing is connected to one before, it's just all over the place. Maybe in the khutbah itself, he's talking about 10 different topics and in the end you don't know what was the subject. All over the place. Huh? Don't be all over the place. The Shaykh, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, His view in the matter is that the student of knowledge, if you're serious about learning, that's for the common people, they can just take something from here and there, they're not interested in real learning anyway. But the student of knowledge must make a knowledge-based foundation for your knowledge that you're going to build upon. A knowledge-based foundation. How is this done? At-ta'asisu ilmiyan yakunu bi-ri'ayati wa inayati al-mutun. Which mutun? Allati wada'aha ahlul ilm litusbiha qa'idatan litalib al-ilm fil aqidah wa fil hadith wal fiqh wa nahwi dhalika. Yani, how do you make this knowledge-based foundation? How do you build it? It is by riaya and inayatul matun, that you give care and attention, careful care and attention to the mutun, yani the books which have been given to us, wabaha al ahl al ilm, yani written by the scholars, litusbiha qa'idatan, so that these mutun, these books, will become a foundation for the talib al ilm, a foundation in aqidah, a foundation in hadith, a foundation in fiqh, and other similar matters. Yani the mutun are small books, texts in any particular subject, a text in aqidah that just covers the aqidah without all the details. Just the it's a foundation text that when a person studies that book and memorizes it, they have a strong foundation in that whatever area they're reading, whether it's an aqidah, hadith, fiqh, seerah, whatever it may be. This will be their foundation. Okay, it'll be a small book. It's not going to be like this. Is like this small book that we copied on one page today, the advice of the Shaykh here. It'll be a small book, but it'll be a foundation that you're going to build upon. It's going to be information that's going to help you in a particular area. That's going to be your foundation, and then you're going to seek knowledge after that in that area, building upon it and adding to it and increasing it. So he said, this is how the knowledge-based foundation is established. Biriaya, yani giving care to something. Wal inaya, yani being careful about the matter, giving a full attention to these mutun, these small books, which the people of knowledge have placed there for us, so that they would become the qa'idah, the foundation for the knowledge, for the student of knowledge in the various areas, whether in aqidah, hadith, or fiqh, or other than that. For example, in aqidah, a tremendous matin that will be a foundation in aqidah will be the likes of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He didn't intend in that book to cover all the details of every issue, but he intended to cover the aqidah generally. And then the later scholars came and yani explained it and gave more details to it and brought evidences and so on and so on and so forth. Even though he brought a lot of evidence in the book. But it's a matin, a text in aqidah, that if a person studies this book, memorizes this book carefully and spends time with it, it will be a strong foundation that they will build upon in their seeking of knowledge for the rest of their life. You'll be building upon that foundation. In hadith, one of the important books is Umdat al-Ahkam. The Shaykh mentioned that this is a very important book. In hadith, a matin that people memorize today, right now today people are memorizing Umdat al-Ahkam. And there are a lot of scholars, contemporary scholars, who have explained that book and who have done explanations of it which are of great benefit. The one that we have studied here, that we have studied anyway, and with some of the people, is Taysir al-Alam. Taysir al-Alam by Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Ali Bassam, rahimahullah. One of the contemporaries of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. They both were students under Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di. They were both his students at the same time, Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam. He wrote a book, Taysir al-Alam, the Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam, tremendous book, which inshallah we're going to refer to later on. Because in reading that book and in studying it, I myself, yani, used to write in the back of the book the qawaid that I found in the course of the study of that book. And I wrote many of them, inshallah, maybe we'll mention some of them today as we go through the next yani, advices of the Shaykh. This is a tremendous book. Also from the books, yani, the important books that perhaps we might consider, a book that I myself studied by Shaykh al-Imam al-Shawkani, Ad-Dur al-Bahiyya, Fil Masail al-Fiqhiyya. A small book of fiqh in which Al-Imam al-Shawkani has outlined all of the issues of fiqh that a person needs to study, with some of their branches without the details. And that book has been explained by other people too, a number of other people. Even at one point Imam Shawkani himself explained the book,
and its explanation is available today. الدورة البهية في المسائل الفقهية. And another book that I want to mention that's a very important book for the students of Arabic language is Al-Ajurumiyya. Al-Muqaddima Al-Ajurumiyya. Yani, which is considered to be the first book that people who are serious students of knowledge, that they will study. Al-Ajurumiyya. It will be, yani, a foundation in the Arabic language covering most of the qawaid of Arabic language. In a summarized fashion that actually is memorized. I'll come back to you, inshallah. The important thing here is what? That these are books that should be, if possible, memorized. And if they are memorized, they will be the foundation that you will build upon in your future studies in any one of these sciences that a person might study. After this, the Shaykh, he says, فَيَعْتَنِي بِهَذِهِ الْمُتُونَ بِحَيْثُ تَكُونُ فُصُولًا ثَابِتَةً يُؤَسِّسُ عَلَيْهَا عِلْمُهُ لَا أَنْ يَكُونُ تَحْصِيلُ الْعِلْمِ نُطَفًا. يعني Shaykh Abdul Razak, حفظه الله, he's saying, so the person who is seeking knowledge gives their attention, their full attention to these mutun in such a way that the metin in each field will become a fasl, yani fusul thabita, yani will become a fasl, yani a chapter or a section in a certain area of knowledge that is established or fixed as a knowledge-based foundation for him. Yani, the care and attention that's given to these mutun will make each one of them an area of study, yani a subject matter that is firmly established, yani upon which he will build his knowledge. Yani, it will become the foundation in each particular science that he will build, yani, his knowledge upon as he goes along in his studies. Not that he should be seeking to achieve knowledge by taking from here and there and being all over the place, but rather focus and stick to, in every field of knowledge, a metin, or more than one, that the person studies carefully, memorizes, and makes it something that they will build upon in the future. Okay, this is where we left off last week, with the third advice, احرس على التركيز والثبات. So the point here is what? That a person in their studies, if they want to benefit, they don't want to waste their time, they have to focus on each subject and study it carefully. The next advice, number 4, قال رحمه الله تعالى ابدأ بصغار الكتب وتأملها جيدا ثم انتقل إلى ما فوقها حتى تحصل على العلم شيئا فشيئا على وجه يرسخ في قلبك وتطمئن إليه نفسك. يعني the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says, ابدأ بصغار الكتب. يعني start with the smaller books, the small books. يعني meaning, don't start with Fath al-Bari if you want to study hadith, right? You start with a small book, يعني small book, and then you build upon that, like 40 hadith, for example, as the Shaykh is going to discuss here. ابدأ بصغار الكتب, the small book in any field. وتأملها جيدا, and then يعني examine it carefully, scrutinize it, contemplate its contents, ponder over it, reflect upon it, study it جيدا, carefully. Take a small book and study it thoroughly. Don't take a small book and just read through, I finished that one, let me go on to another one now. No, take your time with it and study it thoroughly. ثُمَّ انْتَقَلْ إِلَى مَا فَوْقَهَا. Then, when you have studied it thoroughly and you have grasped it, you comprehended it fully, you looked at all of it from every angle and taken all that you can get out of it, then you go on to that which is above it. Yani to the next level. To a book that is on a little higher level.
حتى تحصل على العلم شيئا فشيئا. Until or so that you will achieve knowledge little by little. يعني taking a small book, studying it thoroughly, examining it carefully, until you get everything that you can get out of it, then you go on to that which is above it, to the next level. In this way, this is so that in this way, you will achieve knowledge, shay'an fa shay'an, little by little. Don't try to get it all at one time. Some people, they're very, very hungry, and they want to just gobble up everything, but this is not the way to learn. Because if a person takes on too much, they won't retain much. But shay'an fa shay'an, little by little. The Shaykh details further, yani the purpose of this manner of studying is so that you will take the knowledge little by little. عَلَى وَجْهٍ يَرْسُخُ فِي قَلْبِكَ, in a manner in which the knowledge, يَرْسُخُ, the knowledge will become firmly established, deeply rooted in your heart. And it won't be something that you just passed over, you have it today, next week it's gone. But it will become firmly established in your heart. It will become deeply rooted in your heart so that it sticks with you. وَتَطْمَئِنُّ إِلَيْهِ نَفْسُكَ, and your nafs, yani, will be at rest with it, will be at ease with it. It won't be something that you're anxious about, I don't really know it that well, I can't retain it, it's getting away from me, but your nafs will be at rest with it. Yani, this will be knowledge that you have learned well. This is the point, yani, of taking it little by little. Starting with the small book and studying it thoroughly, little by little, then go to the next level and do the same thing. In this way, yani, the knowledge will become deeply rooted in your heart, and your nafs, yourself, your soul will be at rest with it. You will be content. You will be, yani, feeling comfortable, confident in what you have learned. You might have this example in any one of us. Any one of us may have had this example of something that we learned so well that we are at rest with it, and we are confident with it. If we want to talk about this subject, we can talk about it with ease. And another subject that you learned, you read, but if you have to talk about it and you're not really, you didn't have a chance to prepare yourself, you can't do it. Because it's not deeply rooted in your heart. You're not really at rest with it. So we need to learn in a way that we really have this knowledge. If you heard, for example, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, sometime a person asked him a question and he talked about it and he went into details, unprepared for the subject. Or he used to come to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and he would go to the seat of Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jazari, and he would teach in that seat. And that was the seat which had the most people in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting with the Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Jazari. So the Shaykh Uthaymeen, when he came to Medina, the Shaykh would give him his seat, and the Shaykh would teach in that seat. And what would he teach? One topic, tafsir. Of what? Whatever the Imam recited in the Maghrib Salat. No preparation. The Imam didn't tell him what he's going to recite. Whatever he recited, that's his topic. And he would talk until Isha for 1 hour with comfort, at ease, at rest, because the knowledge is firmly rooted. Shaykh Uthaymeen. I mean, this is the way the scholars are. Shaykh al-Albani, I remember somebody asked him a question about a subject in a sitting in the house, right, because he wasn't allowed to teach in the public places at that time. And he talked for more than 1 hour, hour and a half, on a question that somebody asked him in a sitting that he wasn't prepared for. And he went into every possible detail that you can imagine, with evidence and proofs and qawaid and all of that. Because why? Because the knowledge is firmly established, deeply rooted in the heart, and the nafs is at rest with it. For this reason, the Shaykh says, and he begin with the small books and reflect upon it, ta'ammalha, contemplate it, study it carefully, and then go on to that which is above it, so that you will achieve knowledge little by little in a way that it will be deeply rooted in your heart and your nafs will be at rest with it. وَلِهَذَا غَالِبُ أَحْلُ الْعِلْمِ يُرْشُدُونَ مَنْ بَدَأَ بِطَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ إِلَى كِتَابِ الْأَرْبَعِينَ لِلْإِمَامِ النَّوِّي رَحِمَهَا اللَّهِ وَلَا يَزِيدُونَ عَلَيْهِ يقولون اعتني بهذا الكتاب اعتني بهذا الكتاب. The Shaykh says, for this reason, most of the scholars will guide the person who is beginning, who is in the beginning stages of his seeking knowledge. Most of the scholars will guide him to the book Al-Arba'een, the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, and they won't go beyond that. They won't suggest more than that. And they will just say, study Al-Arba'een.
They said, give care to this book. Yani give attention to this book. Yani study it well. بينما بعض الدعاة أو بعض طلاب العلم إذا جاء إنسان مبتدئ للتو يا الله. I heard this word before. I couldn't remember what it means. And I thought it's Amiya, because it doesn't look like a real word, right? But come to find out, it's Fusha. The Shaykh, he said, but at the same time, some of the du'at, the callers to Islam, and some of the students of knowledge, if a person, a beginning person who is just starting out, insan mubtadi, litaw dakhala fil istiqama, yani somebody who just began to practice, yani they just became serious about Islam, they're in the beginning stages, they just became serious about, yani upon istiqama, uprightness upon the deen, practicing Islam. وَقَالَ بِمَاذَا تَنْسَحُنِي, what do you advise me with? These people, other than the scholars, yani some of the du'at or some of the students of knowledge, they will أَمْلَاهُ قَائِمَةً بِالْخُتُبِ, they will give him yani a full, complete, long list of books. And they will say, this is جَيِّد, and this is مُفِيد, and this is نَافِيَ, and this يَصْلُح لِكَذَا, yani this book is good, and this one is beneficial, and this one yani is suitable for such and such, and so and so. And they gave him the long list of books. فيرى العلم ثقيلا جدا ويجد صعوبة في الدخول في هذا كله وفي الغالب يتركه. So the person, when they're given this long list of books and all of this information that they are expected to jump into, they find the knowledge is something that is heavy. It's very heavy. This is going to be difficult. It became a task. يجد صعوبة. It became hard for them to enter, to even get started in yani reading all of these books. And mostly they will end up leaving it, yani leaving their intent to go into the study and yani seeking knowledge. لكن إذا قيل له خذ الأربعين يكفيك. But if it was said to that person in the beginning, just take الأربعين, 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, let that be sufficient for you. Give your full attention to it, memorize it, revise it, listen to its explanations. If it was said like this to them, yani just take this book and work with it. Read it, memorize it, yani study it, listen to different explanations of this book by different scholars, 40 hadith. It wouldn't take a lot of time. If a person memorized one hadith every day, they would have completed it in 40 days. Or in this case, 40 hadith, Imam Nawawi, it would be completed in how many days? 42 days. Because it's actually 42 hadith, right? وَسَتَجِدُ أَثَرَهَا الْمُبَارَكَ عَلَيْكَ. And this person, if they study, they take such a book as this and they study it carefully and give attention to it and care to it and memorize it and understand its meanings by reading or by listening to various explanations of different scholars, not only they will be able to complete the memorization of it in a short period of time, but they will understand it well and they will find the blessed effect of this hadith, these hadith, and the meanings that they contain in one's life. You will find that it will be yani full of barakah. And this is because Al-Arba'een, the Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, subhanallah, ajibatun lil-ghaya. Yani that's because this book, the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, the Shaykh, he says in between this, subhanallah, yani meaning, yani he's declaring that Allah is the one who's free of imperfections. He's talking about the beauty of this book and the benefit of it, but then he's reminding himself and us, subhanallah, that perfection is only for Allah. However much knowledge a person may have, or how great a book may be, or whatever, perfection belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't imagine that any scholar or any student or any person, whoever it may be, in any situation or circumstance, however good they may be, just remember, subhanallah, that perfection belongs to Allah alone. He said, this book though is ajiba lil-ghaya, very, very amazing. He has been given success, wuffiq, rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayhi, tawfiqan azeeman. He has been given a tremendous success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his selection of the hadith, yani the hadith that he chose from thousands of hadith. He chose few hadith, 40 hadith, or 42 hadith.
in his selection, yani Allah gave him success in his selection of the hadith, of selecting the best of what he could have selected. وَجَمِعَهَا, and also in his compilation, the way he put them together, the way he compiled those that he selected, he was given success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proof of this is that كُتُبٌ فِي الْأَرْبَعِينَ كُتُبٌ كَثِيرًا, yani that there are many books, yani under the subject of 40 hadith. Lots of scholars collected 40 hadith. 40 hadith in all different types of subjects. Even until today, scholars are still compiling books of 40 hadith. In da'wah, 40 hadith, and fasting, 40 hadith, and whatever. 40 hadith. He said, however, لم يكتب لكتاب ألف في الأربعين من القبول وأموم النفع والفائدة مثل ما كتب للأربعين النووي للإمام النووي رحمه الله. Yani in spite of the fact that there are many books, collections of 40 hadith that many scholars throughout the centuries, including up until today, there are many books of 40 hadith that have been collected, but he said, لم يكتب, yani Allah did not decree for any of those books that have been written in 40 hadith, that they will receive the acceptance that the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi received, meaning that the people throughout the centuries since that book was collected, until today, all over the world, it found acceptance amongst the Muslims everywhere. وَعُمُومَ النَّفَ وَالْفَعِدَةَ, and the general benefit that came from this book, nor the book, yani received the like of it, like the book of 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Then the Shaykh says, why? لأنه انتقى فيه الجوامع من كلم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani the first reason is because what? He has selected for that book الجوامع من كلام الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani those hadith which are comprehensive in their meanings, even if they might be short or concise in their wordings. Jawamiya, comprehensive speech, from the comprehensive speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that most of the hadith and 40 hadith are not long hadith. Most of them are short hadith. But they are comprehensive in their meaning. بِحَيْثُ إِذَا حَفِظَهُ, such that the way he collected this hadith from this Jawamiya al-Kalam of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا حَفِظَهُ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ, such that if the student of knowledge memorizes it, حَفْذًا مُتْقَنًا, yani with precise precision in his memorization, memorizes it well, thoroughly, وَاسْتَمِعَ إِلَى شُرُوحَاتِهِ مِنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ عَالِمٍ يُصْبِحُ عِنْدَهُ قَائِدَةً شَرَعِيَّةً صُلْبَةً مَتِينَةً يَبْنِي عَلَيْهِ, yani هو يَبْنِي عَلَيْهَا عقيدته وعبادته وتعامله مع الناس. Yani the way he selected these hadith and compiled them is such that if the student of knowledge memorizes it with a strong precision memorization, memorizes it well, and he listens to its explanations from more than one scholar, yani meaning that lots of scholars have explained these types of books, this book in particular, lots of scholars have explained it. He didn't listen to one explanation or read one explanation, but he listened to explanations of this book from more than one scholar, yani from a number of different scholars. In that case, يُصْبِحُ عِنْدَهُ قَاعِدَةً, it will be then become for him a foundation, a qaida, a foundation, شَرَعِيَّ, yani a shar'i foundation, صُلْبَ, that is solid and firm, matina, that is strong. And he will build upon that foundation his aqidah, and his ibadah, and his muamala with the people. So here there are a number of points that the Shaykh has mentioned here. From the most important of what he has said here is that if a person memorized this book, 40 hadith, or books like this, but especially 40 hadith, and they understand the meanings of those hadith because they listen to his explanation from various different scholars, then it will become for that student a foundation. Yani it will be a foundation, a strong, firm, solid foundation in the Sharia, that he will base his aqidah upon it, he will base his ibadah upon it, and he will base his interactions with the people upon it. Meaning that every area of the deen, his aqidah as well as his ibadah as well as his dealings with the people, all of it will be based upon what he has understood and what he has learned from the memorization of such a book as 40 hadith.
I want to go to the next point, but let me just read here or summarize what the what's written in the footnotes here, yani about Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, Hafidhullah. He had mentioned in 40 hadith, naam, fadl. He had mentioned, yani in reference to 40 hadith, he said, I would like to mention, yani, an experience that I had with 40 hadith. Yani Shaykh Abdul Razzaq is mentioning an experience that he had with 40 hadith. He said, I went to one of the African countries and I remained in that country for nearly 20 days. And he traveled to another country in Africa and he stayed in this particular country for nearly 20 days. So I began some dars there, a lesson based upon the 40 hadith. And there was someone who would translate for me. And the master was full of people in attendance. And in that place where he was doing the classes, he said there were mukhalafat kathira. Yani there were many things amongst the Muslims in that particular town or in that city who were yani doing things contrary to the Sharia, contrary to the Sunnah. Whether it was in matters of aqidah, or whether it was in matters of ibadah, or whether it was in matters of akhlaq, manners, or mu'amalat, yani the dealings that the interrelations that the people have with one another. There were many mukhalafat. Yani meaning what? That the place that he went to, the people had fallen into all kinds of errors and mistakes. In their aqidah, in their ibadah, in their manners, and in their interactions, their dealings, business or social dealings with one another. There were all kinds of problems that the people were engaging in when he went to that place that he found the people upon. So he said, I asked some of the students of knowledge to inform me about these mistakes of the people, these mukhalifat, the things that are in contradiction to the Sunnah, that are in contradiction to the Sharia, that were found in that land. No matter whether it was problems that the people had in their homes, or crimes that were being committed, or corruption in the aqidah, or innovations, or whatever other than that. Whatever it was, whatever it is, I want to know about it. People have social problems, family problems, marital problems, crimes taking place in this society, bid'ah, whatever it is, tell me what is going on here. Huh? Because he came from another country, he doesn't know what's going on there, so he asked the students of knowledge, what's happening in this land here, so that he can address the problems of the people. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi. So he said, I asked him to inform me about this. And then, while I was teaching the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, I would address these problems that I heard were taking place in this town. And I would address it. Listen to this. وَعَالِجُهُ بِدُونَ نَقُولَ عِنْدَكُمْ كَذَا. Without saying to the people, oh, I came to know that you people have this bid'ah, and you people have this problem, and you have that problem. He didn't say that. He didn't accuse the people. But he just addressed the problems that he was made aware of without saying to the people that there's, you know, that I came to know that you people in your marriages, you're doing such and such and so and so. Anyway, why am I emphasizing this point? Is because sometimes the way we address the people, if you ever experience this, then you know what I'm talking about. It feels like somebody's talking down on you, like they're better than you. You people doing this, you people doing that, you people have this, you have that, like you above all of that. He said, I didn't say to any of the people, I found y'all doing this. But he knows that there's a problem. So while he's teaching the hadith, whichever point came in the hadith that can address some of those problems, he explains from the hadith the correct and the way to correct the problems that they have. This is really hikmah, yani in teaching the people and dealing with the problems of the people. Not beating people down and making accusations against people and belittling people, but rather addressing the real problems without belittling people. You don't have to belittle people to address the problems of the people. And too often we hear this belittling type of speech coming from the people, yani the people who are addressing us. He said, I used to address these problems without saying to them, you people have this and you have that. وَلَكَنْ أَقُولُ وَأَنَا أَشْرَحَ الْأَرْبَعِينَ وَقَدْ دَلَّ هَذَا الْحَدِيثَ الْعَظِيمِ على عالم جواز كذا من جهة كذا وأبين الأدلة وكان عددا منهم يأتي يعلن توبته. He said, rather than me saying you people are doing this and you're doing that,
He said, rather, while I'm explaining the 40 hadith, I'm just mentioning to the people that this great hadith indicates the impermissibility of such and such. And how does it indicate that? Min jihat kadha. This hadith proves it from this perspective or from this angle. And then I will make clear to them the evidences for what I'm saying, that something is not permissible. He's addressing what? The things that he heard that the people are engaging in. But he's not telling them that I heard that you people are doing such and so, but rather he's just telling them this tremendous hadith proves that something is not permissible. And this is how it proves it. And these are the evidences. And he makes clear to the people, yani, what is correct. And as a result of that, he said a number of people would come forth and announce their tawbah. And they would acknowledge that I'm repenting from such and such and so. And then others would come to him and they would mention to him other mukhalifat, other yani mistakes or errors or deviations or corruptions that were taking place among the people. And they would say to him, we want you to address this also in the yani hadith that are coming. You didn't get to it. Address this problem and address this problem and address that problem. And here the Shaykh, the point of this yani experience that he had is showing us yani the tremendous benefit that can come from a book like 40 hadith, the tremendous benefit that it contains in how it addresses all issues, whether it's in ibadah, or whether it's in aqidah, whether it's in akhlaq or muamalat or whatever it is. That and this is one of the reasons why this book has such tremendous acceptance and why it brought so much benefit to the people yani throughout the centuries and throughout the lands yani wherever the people yani studied it. And did somebody bring in trays of food?
Yes.
There's food? MashaAllah. So people who are fasting or for everybody?
Mainly for people that
fast. Okay.
When he wanted some of your books, I told him that maybe we don't have books now, maybe we can bring him some.
Which brother?
The brother brought the food.
What's his name?
What's his name?
Saifullah Bukhari? I have the books for him. He left already? He left? Here, somebody give this to him. No, I knew he was coming. He told me he was coming. But I was expecting to see him. Jazakallah khair. It was on top of the telephone, right there by the women's entrance. There was a bag there, and it was right behind that bag. You see it there? Is there a bag there on top of the telephone? The telephone right next to the women's entrance. Is there a bag there? And the attendance is there, with the handouts and everything. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib. Okay. Naam. Okay, let's go to the next point. It's kind of long though. We'll do as much as we can. I lost my thoughts. Imam Nawawi, naam. 40 hadith. Okay. So, in any case, the point here is what? That in this particular point, this advice, the Shaykh said, begin with the small books and study them carefully. Study them well before you go to that which is above it. And in this way, you will gain knowledge little by little in a way that will become firmly rooted in your heart and your soul will be at rest with it. And then the Shaykh gave the example of studying 40 hadith and his own experience in teaching 40 hadith and how yani was of great benefit to the people that he was teaching it to. Okay, after this, I want to go to point number 5, the fifth advice of the Shaykh, إحرس على معرفة أصول المسائل وقواعدها وقيد كل شيء يمر بك من هذا القبيل فقد قيل من حرم الأصول حرم الوصول. يعني شيخ الإمام محمد ابن صالح الثيمين رحمه الله, he says احرص على معرفة أصول المسائل وقواعدها, يعني be diligent and eager, strive in seeking knowledge, becoming acquainted with the fundamental issues, usul al-masail, yani the fundamental issues, wa qawaidiha, and the principles related to them. Yani usul al-masail, yani masail, there are many issues, right? Whether in fiqh or hadith or whatever science you're studying, there are many masail. But he said, be diligent in coming to know, becoming acquainted with usul al-masail, the fundamental issues, the fundamentals of the issues in any particular science. Wa qawa'idha, and the principles related to them. Yani there are qawa'id, just like there are qawa'id in Arabic language, right? We study grammar rules, right? There are qawa'id, yani mubtada, khabar, fi'l, fa'il, maf'ul, and be like this. So there are principles related to how the language works. Principles, qawa'id. So he's saying, whatever the science is, give attention, be diligent in becoming acquainted with, having knowledge of the fundamental masail, the fundamental issues. Not every branch are you going to learn well, but the fundamental issues, the most important of them, whether it's in salat, whether it's in zakat, whether it's in Ramadan, fasting in Ramadan, or the siyam in general, the fundamental issues. What are the fundamental issues? For example, now it's time of Hajj, right? So there are fundamental issues in Hajj. Yani related to Ihram, related to Tawaf, Sa'i, the different types of Yani Hajj, Tamattu, Qiran, whatever, right? So there are fundamental... Huh? The Miqat, Yani... where is the Miqat? What do you have to do at the Miqat? What if you cross the Miqat? There are fundamental issues that you have to know. If a person doesn't know the fundamentals, then really they don't know anything. And even if you know some branch issues, secondary issues, but if you don't know the fundamentals, you don't really have knowledge of that science. The Shaykh is saying the fundamental masail, the most important masail, and the qawaid, the principles related to them. We have to know this. Then he said, وَقَيِّدْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ يَمُرُّ بِكَ مِنْ هَذَا الْقَبِيلِ. And write down, yani tie down by writing, everything yamurru bika that passed by you, or that you come across. Yani yamurru bika, it passed by you. But we mean like you came across it, right? Min hadha al-qabil. Yani in reference to what? Usul al-masail wa qawa'idha. Write down what you came across. Faqad qila, for indeed it has been said, yani man hurima al-usul, whoever is deprived of knowing the fundamentals, hurima al-usul, they will be deprived of arriving. They will be deprived of arriving, al-usul. They will not reach, as the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says, rahimahullah, yani hurima al-usul, annahu la yasilu ila ghayatihi. What does it mean, hurima al-usul? That he will not reach his ghaya, his goal, his destination. Whoever is deprived of the usul, he will not reach his destination. So a person opens up a book and they want to study about Hajj. If they didn't learn the usul, they will not reach the destination. They will not arrive. They will not get that which they intended or that which they hoped for. Yani what they were trying to reach, they will not reach it. So, and because we only have a few minutes left, the Shaykh, he has a long explanation of this particular point. I'm going to just mention, yani, as a benefit, I'm going to mention as a plug or advertisement for Taysir al-A'lam, the Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam. Myself, when I was studying this book for years, and it's a big book, good explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam, as I mentioned by Sheikh, the companion of Sheikh Uthaymeen. Anybody know his name? Abdullah Ali Bassam, Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Salih Ali Bassam, rahimahullah. I used to write in the back of the book the qawaid that I found, that he mentioned his explanation of this book. It's a book of hadith. He's explaining the hadith, the fiqh, the differences of opinion, and all the time he's mentioning qawaid. And this was something that the students of Sheikh Abd al-Rahman were known for, especially Sheikh al-Uthaymeen. I remember meeting one of his students in Qasim, and he always used to talk about this qaida and this qaida and this qaida, and how the Shaykh broke this down, that it's divided into three parts and each part is divided into two parts and each of those parts have parts. Yani very systematic, methodical. I used to say subhanallah. So anyway, Shaykh Abdullah, I found some principles from him, qawaid, al-mashaqqa tajlibu al-taysir. Yani just a few words, this is a principle, a qaida. If a person understands it, it's applicable to a lot of masail. That's the benefit. That a qaida, yani, can be applied to many different situations. Yani, I don't really know about this particular issue, but it comes under this qaida, so I can give you an answer for it, based on the qaida. Even though I didn't study that particular issue. But the qaida tells us how to deal with, yani, various issues that come under the same ruling. Al-mashaqqatu tajlibu al-taysir. That difficulty attracts or brings forth ease. Meaning in the Sharia, wherever there's some difficulty involved in complying with what Allah has required of us, then Allah makes a facility, a ease. Yani, a person is in the month of Ramadan required to fast, right? But guess what? They got real sick. So Allah what? Because of the mashaqqa for the sick person of fasting, Allah gave them taysir, ease. He said the sick person can make up the days later. Person is traveling, he can do what? Combine the prayers. Person is, yani, whatever, different situations, there's different facility given. This is a principle. Al-mashaqqatu tajlibu al-taysir. Wherever there's difficulty, that something that Allah made obligatory on the people, but certain people, because they're sick, because they're traveling, because they're elderly, because of whatever, they found hardship in that which people should be able to do. Because Allah doesn't put any requirement on the people that they can't do. But certain people, because of their special condition, they might find difficulty. فَالْمَشَقَّةُ تَجْلِبُ التَّيْسِيرُ. This is just an example of the principle. I'm not going to explain them all, but in any case. Also, famous principle, ارتكاب أَخَفُّ الضَّرَرَيْنِ. Yani, that a person should take the lesser of the two harmful things. If a person is faced with a choice between two things that are difficult, then they should do the lesser of them. Al-qawl muqaddim ala al-fi'l. Yani, that the speech of the Prophet ﷺ has precedence over his action. The Prophet said something and he did something. Well, if there appears to be a contradiction between them, then the precedence is given to his speech, because his speech is for the whole of the ummah, whereas his action might be yani, might be something that is particular, specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La qiyas ma'an nas. La qiyas ma'an nas. There's no qiyas where there's a text. Yani, it's not permissible for you to make qiyas when there's a textual proof in any particular issue. And I'm going to stop with this one, and then there are more, but very beautiful principle that I love. La yajuz ta'khir al-bayan al-waqt al-haja. La yajuz ta'khir al-bayan al-waqt al-haja. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never delay the clarification of any particular issue in the Sharia on waqt al-haja, beyond the time that people are in need of it. If the people are in need to know something, he has to explain it to them. Nobody can say, yani, maybe he just didn't explain it. No, if the issue came forward and the people needed to know, the Prophet ﷺ explained it. لا يجوز تأخير البيان. It's not permissible to delay the explanation, the clarification of a matter, beyond the time of its need. The people are in need now, you have to explain it now. You know that the people are troubled, are lost, or confused about something right now. I'll tell them next year. No, that's not permissible. You have to tell them now, when the time came, when it was needed. These are some principles that I came across in Taysir al-Alam, and there are literally hundreds of them, actually, in the course of his explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam, and all of them are of great benefit. I'm going to stop here with this, and then we're going to come back to yani, this particular point with the Shaykh's explanation, and the last point. Actually, when I was reviewing my notes for this class, I felt like troubled to race through the remaining of what the Shaykh has said. So rather than race through it, I hope that you will pardon me, that we're going to extend yani, this session, one more session, because I don't want to race through this. I thought that's too important. Why do we have to race? I know it might be some difficulty on some people, but I ask you to please pardon me for extending us one more week. But I just couldn't do it. I looked at how many pages were left. I know if I can just race through them, I can read through them, sure, but there's no real benefit. Are we trying to learn, or we just want to finish reading the book? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.